Time to call the, this is the October 15th Planning and Zoning Meeting for Taney County, and this is a public hearing. There's a sign-up sheet up here, and you will not be allowed to speak tonight unless you sign up on your specific issue, which Bob will tell you in a minute. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill. Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Would you please explain the meeting procedures?
Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, as Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for staff. If you wish to comment at the public hearing, as the chairman had indicated, if you do wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-up sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon conclusion of public comment. The regular meeting will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting. At that time, the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your respective case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, first up is the Table Rock Traders. Mr. Holcomb, would you please come forward? See if the commission has any questions for you. Maybe if there's anybody signed up for you, if you might be able to answer their question.
And do you want me to go ahead and go through the... this is case number 2013-20. The project is Table Rock Traders, Gun Sales and Gunsmithing as a home occupation. The applicant is John Holcomb. And this is the location of the project. The project is located at 747 Painter Road, Branson, Missouri, Scott Township, Section 4, Township 23, Range 21. The request, the applicant, John Holcomb, is requesting the approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to operate a firearm sales and gunsmithing business. The firearms will be sold by appointment only via the applicant's single-family residence, with the gunsmithing and ammunition being housed within an existing cinder block shed behind the residence. This is the existing residence, and this is the cinder block shed. The background and history on this, the applicant, John Holcomb, again, is seeking the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 special use permit authorizing gunsmithing and the sales of firearms and ammunition as a home occupation. The firearms will be sold by appointment only via the applicant's single-family residence, with, again, the gunsmithing and ammunition being housed within the existing cinder block shed behind the residence. During the concept hearing, the applicant indicated that the previous property owner conducted a gunsmithing business from the cinder block shed as well. The applicant has submitted a copy of his federal firearms license from the ATF, and the applicant has obtained a Type 1 FFL, or federal firearms license, allowing for him to be a dealer of firearms and also allowing for gunsmithing. copy of the FFL was attached in the staff report. The current application was approved for concept on September 16th of this year. The general description of the property, this is an approximately 18.35-acre property, which contains a 1,352-square-foot residence, a barn, and two sheds, located at 747 Painter Road. And we've got a north, south, just a north and south view of this. In review, the applicant is seeking approval of a Division III special use permit in order to operate a firearms and ammunition sales and gunsmithing business as a home occupation. The gunsmithing and ammunition will be stored within the existing cinder block shed near his single-family residence, with the firearms sales occurring from the single-family residence. The applicant has indicated that his home occupation involves no outside employees. The exterior appearance of both the residence and the shed will remain the same. Per the provisions of the home occupation requirements of the Development Guidance Code, the applicant would be limited to a sign no larger than 2 foot by 4 foot, an unlighted nameplate. And the applicant has indicated that the vast majority of his business will be obtained via word of mouth. The applicant has further indicated that the firearms and ammunition sales and gunsmithing business will be in compliance with the home occupation provisions of the Development Guidance Code that require the total area used for the home occupation to not exceed one-third of the floor area of the dwelling. The applicant has stated that the firearm sales will occur within the single-family residence, with, again, the gunsmithing and ammunition storage being contained within the existing cinder block shed. The applicant has indicated that he will test firearms on-site at the request of customers. The applicant has indicated that the hours of operation will be by appointment only, but will fall within the following times: Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., and Saturday through Sunday, 12:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. The applicant has further stated that there will be no outside storage of materials related to the home occupation. This is, again, a home occupation application, which falls under the provisions of a Division III special use permit. And per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, a special use permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. Per the provisions of the Guidance Code, the special use permit cannot be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land change applications. The adjoining property immediately to the north, west, and east is primarily vacant wooded property, and the adjoining property immediately to the south is Painter Road and primarily light residential. The project received a total score of negative 16 on the policy checklist. Out of a maximum possible score of 53, the relative policies receiving a negative score consists of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and utilities. The staff recommendation on this: if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, upon the expiration of the current ATF federal firearms license, the applicant shall provide a copy of the renewed FFL to the Planning Department office. Third, no on-site customer slash client target practice shall be allowed. Firearms utilized in conjunction with the gunsmithing home occupation shall only be fired by the applicant, ensuring that they are in proper working condition. Fourth, signage for the Table Rock Trader's business shall be limited to a sign no larger than 2 foot by 4 foot, unlighted nameplate. Five, the Table Rock Trader's application shall be viewed as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. Six, all on-site sales shall occur Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., and Saturday through Sunday, 12:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. 7, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 8, this decision is subject to all existing easements. And 9, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a couple of pretty brief videos here. And this first video is just right at the entrance, and just did a quick 360 right at Painter Road. And then the second video, we just briefly drive into the property here. Oops. Or did I pull the same one again? Actually. That having technical
that
issues
it,
here. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that is
it.
Okay.
Mr. Oakland, let me ask you, you indicated that the previous owner was using this as a gunsmith shop. Do you know if he had a Division 3 special use permit?
I do not know that.
Do you know, Bob?
I don't find any record of it anyway.
It was Drew Valentine's who had the house previously.
Okay, and the other question I have for you is this test firing. And I notice your hours of operation is 5:30 to 9.
Right.
I mean, coming another week or two,
right,
dark at 5:30.
I'm probably not going to be firing them. Whenever Bob asked me if I did, I said maybe it depends, you know, if the customer requests it. But if it's dark, you know, not to be firing. That's kind of common sense.
Now, are you comfortable with keeping your hours of operation where they are?
Yes.
Time to change it is now if you want to.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Commission, have any questions for the gentleman?
Yeah, I've got one. As a customer, where am I going to have to go to try your gun out if I want to buy one?
Well, I could show you on the picture, but since it's having technical difficulty.
Sorry.
I shoot towards the farthest, towards my 18 acres. It's kind of like a corner. And it's about 30 feet or 40 foot from where the house is on the side of the barn.
Well, did I misunderstand your application? I thought there was no fire.
Only a test fire.
He indicated that he would be the one test firing if there's any test firing.
But if I want a test fire, where do I go?
Take it with you.
Yeah, you got to go. There's Busick. There's a gun range in Ozark.
And you're going to let me take the gun and go to the gun range in Ozark and try it out before I buy it, huh? Is that the way you're going to handle your customers?
Well, a lot of places you can't test fire a gun, sir.
Well, I know it, but I'm just dealing with one place right here.
Yeah. I was told that I couldn't let anybody else shoot, so I mean, there was no shooting allowed on my property is what I was told by you guys, so I just took it as
okay.
That's all I can do.
Look, I just wanted to.
And that will be up to the commission, really.
Well, I don't have any problem with it. I just wondered what the plans
either.
Were.
If you had a safe shooting facility, do you shoot out there now?
I shoot myself. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Have you ever had any complaints?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. I haven't. I mean, I've been there right at 2 years.
Well, it seems to me like all test firing of any weapon should be done in daylight hours.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you.
I mean, that makes good sense to me. We all get a little nervous when we hear shots in the dark.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you think you'd want to change your time on Saturday and Sunday, wouldn't
you? I work.
That's why I was asking that question.
Yeah, I work on, I got another job, though, so. I mean, but if it's dark, I mean, there's no shooting allowed. I mean, that's kind of common sense, like I said.
Well, mainly it's going to be just like at Walmart or someplace like that. You go buy a gun, you don't test fire in there. You take the gun, if there's a problem, they bring it back.
Right.
Okay.
But he indicated to you primarily he was going to test fire them. I suppose after he assembled them, so make them sure they're working properly. Is that the thought process? Or?
Well, there's other ways. You don't have to test fire one. I mean, you can cycle them, you know. Make sure they work. I mean,
well, I'm just kind of getting a feel for it.
Yeah.
Well, you guys here test fire firearms on site.
Only if it's requested.
The customer.
Yeah, if it's requested. I mean, most people don't ask to test fire though.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you, Dion. Nobody signed up to talk about it. Esther's House of Redemption.
Okay, this is case number 2013-21. The project is Esther's House of Redemption. The applicant is Jill B. Jones, and the representative is Sunday Joe Graham. In this property, we've got just a location map showing where the property is in relationship to the county. And this is located at 1947 Lake Shore Drive, Branson, Missouri, the Scott Township, Section 28, Township 23, Range 21. The request, the representative, Sunday Joe Graham, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to utilize an existing single-family residential structure as Esther's House of Redemption, a faith-based residential discipleship program for women. The background and history on this, the representative, Sunday Joe Graham, is seeking the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the establishment of Esther's House of Redemption within the existing single-family residence located at 1947 Lake Shore Drive, Branson, Missouri. This residential structure was formerly utilized by Janet Daly as an office. However, the staff has been unable to locate the original Division 3 permit authorizing the establishment of the office use. The current application was approved for concept on September 16th of this year. The subject property is approximately 0.49 acres and contains an approximately 3,802 square foot single family residence located at 1947 Lake Shore Drive, Branson, Missouri. The residential structure is currently being listed on the multiple listing service as a four bedroom and four bathroom single family residence. And we've got a north, south, east and west view of the property in question. In review, Esther's House of Redemption is a faith-based residential program located in Branson, Missouri, offering hope to broken women free of charge. The Esther's House of Redemption will serve women from all backgrounds, ages 18 to 50, who struggle with life-controlling issues such as alcohol and drug addictions, depression, self-harm, and more. During the concept hearing, the representative indicated that Esther's House of Redemption will provide completely staffed housing for up to 8 women. There will be a minimum of 3 staff members on site throughout the day, with a house mother being available through the night. This residential discipleship program will provide housing and services to the women at no cost, with funding being provided via donors and possible future grants. The property is currently served by a shared well and public sewer service via the Taney County Regional Sewer District. In review, this residence is in compliance with the setback requirements. There's an existing parking lot area in the rear yard containing a total of 9 parking spaces. though the parking requirements for this specific use are not enumerated via the parking provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the staff feels the existing parking lot and driveway areas will provide adequate parking. Per the buffering provisions of the Development Guidance Code, buffering would be required between the proposed multifamily residential use and the adjoining single-family residence to the west. The adjoining property immediately to the north and east is an existing resort. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Lakeshore Drive and also light residential. The adjoining property immediately to the west is residential, with a resort use being located further to the west. The project received a total score of -6 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 53. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, and utilities. The staff recommendations, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Taney County Regional Sewer District, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, Esther's House of Redemption shall provide housing to no more than 8 women, with at least 3 on-site staff persons and 1 house mother. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. 4. An opaque privacy fence shall be erected between the Esther's House of Redemption and the adjoining single-family residence to the west. 5. No outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 6. This decision is subject to all existing easements. And 7. This decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. And we've got just a brief video here of the property. And we've done a fairly quick 360 here right at the entrance. And also tried to walk to the back just to give you an idea of the adjoining uses here. And, of course, this is the existing parking area.
Cindy, we'll ask you a few questions, and maybe that'll help the public that when they speak about it, maybe we can answer some of those questions.
Okay.
I have just a couple of questions for you. I noticed on one of your sheets here, this is regarding parking,
mm-hmm.
that you say that some of the classes will be open to the public. Now, do you have any other means of parking? I mean, and how much public are you thinking is going to come to this?
It's very few people that would be invited. It's more like along the lines of couples, people who are mentoring the women in the program, so it'll be very few.
Okay, and one other question is, do any of your residents, will any of them come from, like, court mandated that they come?
Nobody can be court mandated. It's a voluntary program. You have to decide that you want to come into the program.
Okay. Commission, questions?
What kind of private fence do you plan to put in between the... On the one side there, they have to be a privacy fence.
Right. I am not familiar with privacy fences because that's not my gifting, but I plan to do the research and figure out, you know, what we need, and I'm most certainly open to suggestions on what you recommend for that.
And another question, there'll just be one person there with eight women at night. Will the doors be locked where they can't get out?
Women are available to leave at any time because it's not a, I mean, it's a voluntary facility, but that's why we have employees there to, you know, make sure everything's okay and that, you know, the women are being compliant and that they want to be there and that they're, you know, willing to get help. So if they are, they're going to be, I mean, sleeping at night, so.
Okay. I have no other questions, Rick.
Any other children?
No.
Visits?
Yeah, for the way the visitation works is actually people don't come to the house to visit, which is also going to help with the parking issue. Women get one weekend visit per month, so their families are allowed to come pick them up, and they can leave the property for 48 hours and then return.
Anybody else? If you just have a seat, we'll call the public up here and get some public input. First on the list is Sharon Moore.
Do you mind if my daughter does it for me?
No, that'll be fine.
Hi. I'm Sherry Moore, and I actually live here, and I believe there is a God. I think every single person on Lakeshore Drive that actually owns there does believe that, and I believe we would all want her to live out her calling. But I think this whole thing is inherently irresponsible. We have children that come here every summer, and she's proposing to bring mentally unstable women to right amongst them. We have Connecticut, for those of you who don't know. She states in here women that are willing to self-harm themselves. It is known that people who might be, that's considered to be unstable. Those are people that do need help. She wants prostitutes and women who have been exposed to self-trafficking. That's a woman who has chosen to go sell her body for a living and maybe even enjoy it. And mixing them with women that have been thrown into the sex trafficking and forced to sell their bodies against their will. She wants to bring all this, not only expose the neighbors, but I guess I think it's irresponsible because there's plenty of commercial buildings that are vacant all over this county. I think there's plenty of space for it. I don't believe this is a residential project. Rehabilitation, I believe, is considered commercial. I believe mental institutions are considered commercial. When you go stay at a mental hospital, or if you go stay at a rehab hospital, I believe you're not considered residing there. I believe you're there temporarily to be healed and then moved on. So I don't believe this is considered residential housing. I believe it's an actual service she's proposing to offer through God only. I do go to Keith Moore occasionally, and I did hear him speak heavily that doctors are needed, and that might be why we have a whole medical industry helping people that deal with the same issues she wants to help them with. So God and medication is okay. It's okay. Some of these people need medication as well. And they have people that have degrees. We have hospitals, and they don't fill a degree. To the best of my knowledge, they have to be licensed by the state to actually help people. She wants counselors. I had a high school counselor. What does she mean by a counselor? A psychologist is not as sophisticated as a psychiatrist. So these counselors she wants to bring, are they really qualified? Janet Daly, they said they can't find the Division III permit. I have seen all this just now, so I might be wrong on some of the stuff I say, and I apologize. But I would propose the Division III permit never existed, and maybe that's why they can't find it. You can have a home office like Janet Daly be a writer that gets paid and works out of your home, and to the best of my knowledge, you don't have to have permission to run that type of business out of your home. You don't have to have your property be considered commercial. It can be residential. You don't have to have special permits. You can write your book and get paid your check, and it's not ever Division III permitted required. I don't know of any requirement where every single type of business ran out of the home requires this type of permit, so I'm proposing maybe it never existed. I don't know, okay, because I have not had time to do research on any of this. I think she might have a calling that she needs to do. But I think when you go around taking these kinds of people that have genuine, honest-to-God needs, and you want to throw them around kids and in the residential area rather than being responsible, even for the adult neighbors, my adult neighbors, they're entitled to feel safe in their own homes, too. And we have lots of commercial property for rehab centers all over town that they can go to, and those can be, I don't know, I don't know. I just think that she might be on her calling, but I think she's going down it irresponsibly by what she's done here. And I don't feel that she herself has proven to be qualified to actually lead. We've all been healed, but in different ways or maybe at certain times, but that doesn't automatically qualify you to go lead something of this level. She has, to my knowledge, no education herself. As far as, you know, coming to see God, we have churches all over this county. You can get in the van and haul everybody down to church, and they will not only be surrounded by themselves, but they'll be surrounded by a whole community of church-going members that won't judge them. I recently met a guy who went through drug rehabilitation, and he told me one of the worst experiences of the whole thing is every time he turned around, he had to be around somebody else going through a rehabilitation. So their whole conversation was about getting off of drugs and stopping to drink the alcohol. And when he was going to AAA, so he had wanted to be around other people who talked about other things beyond their problems of alcoholism. And I don't know where the rest of my notes are, but... And why did the house that she went to, why is that closed? Did it not work out, or? Yeah, the Table Rock one. I don't know. These women do have serious issues. And you can find God anywhere. It's not located exclusively on Lakeshore Drive. This OPEG privacy fence between the house that Janet lived in and the guest house, which I guess is the one they're trying to take, the OPEG privacy fence, why is that so important to divide those houses but not between the road? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have too much more to say because, like I said, this is on the fly. I think she might be on her calling, but I just think it's irresponsible in the way she's approaching it, and I think part of responsibility is being cognizant of allowing other people to feel safe in their home while people heal, and letting those people heal. I think I used to have a client that was I used to sell advertising. I had a client that ran a rehabilitation center. We became really close friends, and I believe, from what I recall, it was many years ago, they had it in a area that was kind of like out in the country where nobody could bother them. They could run around and nobody would bother them. They could have their coffee. They could walk and enjoy that and nobody would bother them. And they could come and heal and they could get the care that they needed and, you know, until they were ready to go back. You know, until she, you know, hopefully heal and go on to a better life. And congratulations for finding God and all. So, thank you.
Sue?
Altar. Hi, I'm Sue Alkire. I'm a resident of Lakeshore Drive. We have two properties on Lakeshore Drive.
when I first got the notice on this, and it said that it was a faith-based discipleship program for women, I'm thinking training for missionaries. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. Then when I find out it's alcohol and drug addictions, depression, self-harm, and more, prostitution and sex trafficking, I have to agree with what Sherry said. We don't need that in our neighborhood. I totally support rehabilitation. I get that. But there are better places to do that besides in residential areas next to Kanakuk. Their website shows that these are the different issues that they are going to be dealing with. What about security? They said they would have people there, one person at night, yet these people are free to leave any time. That's a little scary if you live a block away. What about the young men that left the boys' ranch in Lampe and walked off, and nobody caught them, and they killed an elderly couple that lived nearby? This kind of thing is scary. We have the right to feel safe and secure in our homes. We don't feel like we need to have to keep the doors locked all the time when we're home because somebody might wander away under a drug addiction or whatever, because they do have relapses. I feel like this will take away the sense of peace and safety and security on Lakeshore Drive. And we've lived there for 7.5 years, and it's been a very peaceful, quiet place to live. That's part of why we chose it there. And this will change that complexion of that, not to mention the property values possibly decreasing because of that being close by. And I support the concept. I know these people need help, the ones that want help. I get that. But like Sherry said, there are a lot of better places to do that besides in a residential area. Thank you.
Where's your home at up there?
We are down the road. We're 21.
Right there and right there.
Okay. Where was your home up there?
Right where the road is. Rick, the long.
Top is great.
I just wanted to know. Yeah. Right up, see where the line goes this way? And my family's been there for 50 years, and we're used to having a lot of peace. And I know I'm talking out of town. But we've had a lot of problems with people, even when they're at the resorts. They walk around. That road is narrow. They don't think anything of it. And you come upon them if you're going slow or whether you're going faster. There's too much opportunity to get them. And I think that the people that are going to be there will get out, and they will.
Okay,
ma'am.
I just wanted to know where your house was.
Okay, thank you.
Jeremy Emery.
Honorable members of the commission, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to state my personal opinion and experiences in this issue. I own the property adjacent to this on two sides, which is two houses, 1909 Lakeshore Drive and 1913 Lakeshore Drive. Neither of those locations received a supposed letter that was mailed out. My neighbors, when I spoke with them, did. I did not find out about this till Sunday afternoon when walking with my daughter down Lakeshore Drive and seeing the posting on the side. So I obviously got very emotional hearing that in less than 2 days there's a hearing about this type of place that I knew nothing about, and the before mentioned Janet Daly house is now our residence. This house is of one of the top houses in the area. It's a very high-end home. We are very fortunate to have it, and it's not compatible to be a multi-million dollar home 100 feet away from a house for this type of people. This people involved in this made no effort to talk to me in advance, or my wife or my family. They made no indication of what it was. When I talked to the neighbors, what their letters said, I felt it was very deceptive in the letters, the wording of the letters, and, you know, tried to control my emotions, but I, quite frankly, you know, felt like somebody was trying to pull the wool over our eyes and get us not to show up by wording it in a manner that was deceptive. And again, now, if you look at that property, it sits down a little bit lower than our main house or our guest house. You're proposing an opaque fence, which I went and I don't know what an opaque fence was, so I Googled it, and it appears to be like a clear plastic material surrounded by 2x4s, very inexpensive, flimsy fence that probably wouldn't last but a couple years. But it wouldn't do much good at all anyways because of the topography of the property that mine is elevated above this. You'd have to have between a 12 and 20-foot tall fence to do any kind of privacy shielding. The other thing is she's proposing that this facility be for women only. When I went and researched facilities like this, I learned that the a federal court of appeals had ruled that when a woman sued a men's only home because she wasn't allowed entry, that that men's only home was in violation of the Federal Fair Housing Act of 1968 as amended in 1974 to ensure no discrimination by sex, because at the time their intent was to make sure housing did not discriminate against women, which it was in the past. Well, the courts ruled that whether it's a man or a woman, they cannot be excluded from a facility such as this. So her intent is very noble, but her knowledge of what may actually happen is very limited. Her ability to manage this thing to me is highly doubtful when she doesn't even, before ever proposing to do this thing, just simply walk around the neighborhood for a half an hour or an hour and find out and inform the neighbors of what she is thinking of doing here. It's just completely incompatible with the neighborhood. The other statement, and much like the my neighbor mentioned, in Blue Eye, we recently had a tragedy in our community. And I was a degreed automotive engineer. Anytime we had something go wrong in the automotive business, we evaluated that and seeing what our systems could do to prevent it in the future. What has this county commission done in deciding whether or not to permit a facility like this in the future based on what we've learned happened in that facility there? Are you going to require nightly head counts every hour so if somebody disappears, the police can be notified quicker or that neighboring residents can be notified? Something has to be done differently after those two people were murdered by those boys. That something, when you're putting this kind of facility nearby residents, there must be logical protections, logical changes, that a commission like you is the only protection our community has, and a commission like you should implement. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Joy Burnett.
Thank you for giving us a hearing. I'm Joy Burnett. I manage Lakeshore Resort on Lakeshore Drive. I am upstream from this potential facility. My concerns as a business manager are traffic, increased traffic in and out of a very narrow road where people do walk, and we have an exit that is steep and you can't see, and so additional traffic is going to be a problem for my customers. But my biggest concern is safety, and that's been mentioned several times. In a cabin resort, people are on vacation. Their kids are out playing on the playground. They don't necessarily lock their cabins every time they leave. They have a sense of safety, and the concerns are twofold. Will they feel safe? If they do not feel safe, they will not come. So I see a potential negative view on the businesses there, the resorts in the area. people want to feel safe. They want to think their kids are safe. And so that's a big concern for me, that it will detract from my business because people will be concerned about what's down the road. And then there's just the actual safety. You have perceived safety by clients and customers, and then you have the actual safety of, okay, what about the men that were the abusers coming into the situation to try to find their women? Who, you know, what kind of an element of people are going to be drawn to this facility that are going to wander through my resort first and see what might be in a cabin or what might be available, or you know, stay and sneak into a cabin? What kind of, I'm on the way down, so am I going to be the stopping place on the way down to the facility? So my concern is traffic, perceived safety by my customers and potentially running off business, and then real safety for myself who live there at this time and for my customers. Thank you.
Okay. Sandy, would you come back up for a moment, please? Have you run another facility like this before?
I have not run a facility. I graduated from a similar facility 3 years ago.
Okay. You're familiar with what?
Right.
The
yes.
Scenario will be then.
Yes.
Okay. Have you made an effort to look at? Is this your prime location, or do you have other locations?
No, this is the prime location. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all I had. I was just seeing if you had another facility before. You guys have any more questions? Okay, thank you.
Do I have an opportunity to answer their concerns, or may I do that?
Yeah, okay. Take a few minutes.
First of all, I just want to say it's not a rehabilitation facility. Rehab is very different than what we are doing. Rehab treats, you know, if you come in with an addiction, they just try to help you get sober. That's not our goal, because every addiction has a deeper problem. And there's a root that we're trying to get to, and that is our goal, is to help these women get to the root of what's really causing their issues, whether that's addiction or whether that's sexual abuse or whether that's depression. So I just want to put that out there, that this is not, you know, just a 30, 60-day rehab facility where we help people get sober. We have a very extensive application process. Women have to want to come there. We don't just take everybody. And you are absolutely right that there was a tragedy that happened. And one thing that I would like to say about that is that most of the people that I believe that came to that program were it was not voluntarily. And the women that are coming to Esther's House of Redemption are coming because they want help, they desire help, they want a different life for themselves. As far as being mentally unstable, we don't just take anybody in. That, you know, they go through a medical background. We want to know, you know, have you been diagnosed with something? Because there are certain people that we can't take in because we don't have a nurse on staff to say, you know, we can help you with your medication. Another thing that I would like to say is that these are women. They're people. We're all people, and we've all hurt in our lives. And our goal is to not label them as a drug addict and a prostitute and an alcoholic, because they're people and they're broken and they need help and they need to see who they are in Jesus and they need healing. That is our goal. As far as it being a commercial building, our goal is to provide these women with a home, not a building. And the home that we are proposing, it's a home. Women feel safe there. They have the opportunity to come in and experience something that they've never experienced before. As far as a counselor, we require all of our counselors to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. Let's see, what were some of the other questions? As far as being in violation to, you know, not allowing men to come in, you're right, I wasn't familiar with those laws, but I also know of other ministries that have been very successful. One case in point is Mercy Ministries, who just celebrated their 30th year, and we are basing a lot of a lot of what we're doing off of their protocol. They've been successful for 30 years, and they've only offered help to women. One thing, as far as putting people's mind at ease regarding safety, like men coming that have abused the women and things like that, we don't advertise the building. We don't advertise that location. We have a completely different mailing address That's why we, you know, just don't let visitors come in. That's why we don't let the public come in. We have a very extensive volunteer application. Not everybody can just come in and be involved. And as far as traffic, that's, you know, going to help not having a lot of traffic in the area. It'll be very minimal. And, you know, in 2009, I went to a program much like this because I was extremely depressed. I was at my bottom and I wanted to die. And people reached out to me and they offered me this chance to go get help. I was sexually abused as a child. I was raped as a teenager. My father died of addiction. And 6 months later, I was so broken that I needed help and I needed somebody to show me love and I needed to see grace and I needed to understand what hope was. And I got the chance to do that in a home surrounded by people who loved me. And you're right, I lived with a prostitute and I lived with a drug addict and I lived with an alcoholic and they were all broken just like me. The only difference was I was depressed, I used food to cope, and they used drugs to cope. There's no difference. We all need help, we all need hope, and we all need redemption, and that is my goal with this house. Thank you.
Okay, where are we on the agenda? And again, he indicated to be next, a week from tonight, but it won't be. It'll be 6 days from tonight.
That's correct.
Next Monday will be the vote on this, which no other public input will be allowed at that time. And if you've heard your case, you're free to leave. But please do quietly if you leave. Okay, Bob, do we have any tentative business? Oh, hold on, we got one more. Excuse me, sir. Right. John Tyler.
Last but not least.
All right.
I thought he was going to leave.
And this is case number 2013-22. The project is SBA Structures Incorporated Telecommunications Tower. The applicant is SBA Structures Incorporated. The representative is John Tyner. And this is the property in question. The property is located at 1384 North State Highway 265, Branson, Missouri, Branson Township, Section 10, Township 22. Range 22. The applicant, SBA Structures Incorporated, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to allow for the development of a new telecommunications facility consisting of a 195-foot self-support monopole tower and equipment, which will be housed within an existing equipment shelter. The background and site history, the approximately 1.21-acre property is owned by SBA Structures Incorporated and contains an existing telecommunications facility consisting of a 280-foot-tall guide tower and three existing equipment shelters within a fenced compound area. According to the assessor's information, the existing guide tower was constructed in 1999. The staff has been unable to locate the original Division 3 permit authorizing the establishment of the existing telecommunications facility. The applicant, SBA Structures Incorporated, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the construction of a 195-foot self-supported monopole tower. The proposed tower and equipment would be added to the existing fenced telecommunications compound. The equipment for the new tower is to be housed within an existing equipment shelter. The current application was approved for concept on September 16th of this year. General description, this is an approximately 1.2-acre property, according to the assessor's information, and again currently contains the existing 280-foot guide tower and three equipment shelters within a fenced compound area. And we've got a north, south, east, and west view of the property. In review, the proposed 195-foot self-support monopole tower will be added to the existing fenced telecommunications compound. The equipment for the new tower is to be housed within an existing equipment shelter. Per the Planning Commission's request, the representative has presented a design fall zone letter from Robert E. Becom, design engineer one with Sabre Industries, in regard to safety factors designed to prevent and minimize a cell tower structural failure due to unusual circumstances. In the letter, Mr. Becom has indicated that in the unlikely event that the tower were to collapse, it would basically have a fall distance of 60 feet. The only structures that lie within the 60-foot fall distance basically are the existing tower and the three existing equipment shelters. The proposed tower, and this is an approximate, but the proposed tower will be located approximately 245 feet from the nearest residence. The adjoining property immediately to the north is vacant. The adjoining property immediately to the south is vacant, with light residential being located further to the south. The adjoining property to the east is an existing water tower with a residence further to the east. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is vacant property with State Highway 265 being located further to the west. The project received a total score of 5 on the policy checklist and of a maximum possible score of 13. No relative policies received a negative score. The staff recommendation on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, a compliance letter from the Federal Aviation Administration. Third, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fourth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Sixth, should the telecommunications tower no longer be in use for the original purpose granted by the Division 3 permit and serving as an approved co-location site, the tower shall be dismantled and removed within 6 months of the cessation of operations. And seven, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a couple of pretty brief videos here of the property. The first video is really at the entrance to the property, and we've done just a quick 360 at the entranceway. And there's the existing tower. And in the second video, we've basically driven into the property. And this is, of course, the fenced compound area and the existing tower. And the existing equipment shelters. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I may be wrong here, but there was an area that was flagged off here, and so I assumed that this was going to be the approximate location of the new tower. I think
that looks accurate based on where the fences are, I believe.
Yeah.
And it will be fenced in once it's finished.
Did the house that's there, did they get a letter? Did you send out letters on this one?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. We would be required to notify all of the adjoining property owners within 600 feet. So.
Okay. We're here. We didn't know we needed to sign in.
Okay.
The commission have any questions for Mr. Niner?
All you're going to do is replace that tower, right?
It's not being replaced. The problem with the existing tower is it's at capacity, and for instance, AT&T needs to put, in order to get the 4G wireless and different data plans for the cell phones, they need to build an it's a new tower that will be right next to it.
Yeah, but the other one's coming down that.
No, they're both going to stay. The existing tower will remain, and then a new tower that's 195 feet will be next to it, resulting in two towers
area here
on that site, which will allow it to fulfill different contract needs for AT&T and Verizon. For instance, like I said, AT&T's approached about putting 4G so you get better, wireless receptions for the iPhone for tourism businesses. The problem is the existing tower's at capacity, so they can't put that antenna up, and that's the plan. And these are strategically placed throughout the area so the networks all work together. And that's obviously a good location, which is why there's one already there. The other one will simply be right next to it, and no existing additions regarding the equipment facilities. Those will just remain. Everything will hook into there. And that will give – the plan is to move some of the ATT antennas that are on the existing one to the new tower, which will free up even more space for more providers should they wish to rent the area.
Do you know the height of the existing tower?
I think Bob mentioned it was 230 or 280.
I believe 280.
Okay.
And the new one,
I saw that up there.
The existing's 280.
And the new one's going to be 195.
Yeah.
And the only thing I would add is there is one of the compliance issues was a federal aviation, and we have that letter, and I don't know if we provided it or not, but we're more than happy to.
Any other questions?
I guess one of my questions would be, I know we've got a letter in our packet here about the integrity of the tower and everything. And I guess the thought that comes to my mind, if it gets like a row of dominoes and one knocks the other one down and something goes, has that been taken into consideration in any way?
That I don't.
In other words,
I don't know what the structure is.
I believe the engineering on it. I really do. I believe the engineering on it, but they're going to be reasonably close. And
that I don't know offhand from an engineering standpoint, because that involves the engineering, I think, of maybe the existing tower, which I don't have the information on.
We don't know
that.
The engineering on that existing tower, which...
But I'll be happy to.
In place, I'm sure it is, but I was looking at it from the point if they interfered with the engineering of each other, I suppose, was my thought process.
And I can look into that before next month.
I would like to hear a little bit more about that, personally.
Well, in fact, it is nearly 100 feet shorter than that one there, so.
Right.
It shouldn't. That big a problem. Any other questions?
Is it going in there where the base is, or
based on
the base rocks? And
should be a pointer up there.
Yeah, let me find
this. This drawing actually.
That's north.
Yeah, north is actually this direction.
So, if that photo was the right direction, is that north? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, this is the picture, and this is facing north. Here's the existing one, so it's going to be right
it's
in here.
Close to here, isn't it? Or
right.
Yeah, you've got it.
Somewhere in this area.
Somewhere.
I'd like to know how far apart they're going to be.
From the other tower?
Mm-hmm. Probably about 30 feet.
I think that may be on here.
We've not run into this before on any of our towers or our locations and stuff like that where we put two up side by side. Kind of something new for me.
Let's see if I had it in any of my plans. But I'll definitely get that from the next one.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, now do we have any tentative business?
I didn't know. I knew that the other folks had come in late. I didn't know.
Well, if it's all right with the commission, we'll let them.
Yeah, no problem. I want to hear.
Come on up.
Something to say, I want to hear.
My name's Tim Kidwell. It's my wife, Robin. We live in the residence here, the only one that's right next to the tower. I'm also the minister for the Branson Church of Christ downtown. And we're not here as disgruntled residents, but we are concerned as far as wanting to understand. When we bought this property, we knew there was a tower next to it, as well as a water tower. And we believe in the engineering also. You know, we know it's engineered that if there were to be a problem, it's supposed to basically collapse and fall straight down. And had we not believed in the engineering, we wouldn't be living in that house or that tower. I tell you, it'd land on the house if it fell straight over. You know, but part of the concern would be, I know there's guide wires that have to come down. You can see my property line is the yellow. My property goes back down to here and then all the way back up to the top of the red line there on that side adjacent to where we're talking about here. And so our concern was, where were they going to put it? We know there's going to have to be guide wires, support wires that will come down. Based upon what I'm seeing here, that property right there is the water tower property, and that's something they'd work out with them, I'm sure. But that has been our concern, is where was it going to be, how tall was it going to be, and now you brought up a good question, and I believe in the engineering, but will the engineering of one interfere with the other if one of them were to have a problem? You know, I mean, yeah, it's supposed to fall straight down, but if you got something falling against it, does that cause there to be a problem with how it's designed to fall?
Well, the way I understand it, sir, the other one is not a guy wired structure. It's a self-supporting structure.
Oh, it's got guide wires because it comes down to...
No, I'm talking about the new one, sir.
Oh, okay, yes, okay.
And,
yes.
And that was my, I suppose that was my thing. If the top fell off of this thing, like they show it's supposed to in engineering, and it hit one of those guy wires, what happens then? That's the gist of my concern.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's, you know, like I say, we're not going to be hard to get along with as far as progress and things that need to be done to help the area, but I also don't want a tower on my roof or coming through my roof either, you know. And my one last question would be, does Verizon have anything to do with this?
Just the new contracts?
We're Verizon customers. We don't have very good coverage there.
Hopefully, with the added capacity, they can come in and get one right next door.
That's
what I'm going to do. Switch to AT&T would be great.
I thought I had my duck in a row, but I wasn't sure. But and I do have a concern there. I mean, I don't speak for anybody but myself. But
I actually, I'll get with the engineer.
I don't think it'll hit the other tower, but it can hit a guy wire.
I'll make sure we.
I'll get some more information. Solve the problem, I think.
I will have some more information on that from the engineer.
Thank you.
Not an engineer.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, any old or new business?
I don't have anything at this point.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
You adjourn.
It's like, holy.